All right, thank you. Can everyone hear me okay, first of all? Yeah, okay, perfect. Thank you all for making it out here. I will just go ahead and get started. So as the introduction stated, I work in the immunization branch at the Texas Department of State Health Services. And the EPIs in our branch, you can see listed there, we carried out an analysis to determine the factors associated with low MMR vaccination coverage among kindergartners in Texas public school districts in the 2013-14 school year. I'll just give you a little background information on measles in Texas and school vaccine requirements in Texas. So I know everyone knows, as this session is named, about the Disneyland outbreak that occurred this year. Texas has had one case of measles so far this year in 2015, and it was not associated with that outbreak, but we had an outbreak of our own in 2013. Out of a total of 27 cases in that year, 21 were outbreak related. And that outbreak occurred among an unvaccinated community and was associated with an imported case. So we've learned time and again that pockets or clusters of unvaccinated individuals are susceptible to outbreaks of vaccine-preventable diseases. And this is a problem that's just getting worse and worse for some reason. So with that in mind, I just wanted to go over some definitions of herd or community immunity, whichever you prefer, that I enjoy from the vaccines textbook. If an infection or vaccine induces some degree of immunity against infection, then some non-immune people will be protected indirectly by the presence and proximity of immune persons. And transmission should stop in a population prior to the infection of all susceptible individuals. Going on, if the proportion immune is so high that the number of susceptible people is below the epidemic threshold, then incidence will decrease. And on the right there, you can see some herd immunity thresholds of some well-known VPDs, both in existence and not in existence anymore. And right at the top there is measles, and along with pertussis, and they both have a herd immunity threshold of 92 to 94% of the community needing to be immune. Now, let's keep in mind that this means 92 to 94% of the community needs to be immune, not just vaccinated, because we know that not everyone will mount an immune response to vaccination. So ideally, the percent vaccinated would need to be even higher to reach that level of necessary immunity. With these things in mind, along with some other factors that I'll go over a little later, our study objective was to determine if any school district characteristics were significant factors in predicting low MMR vaccination coverage levels among kindergartners in Texas during the 2013-14 school year. So these are the requirements for entry into kindergarten in Texas, and you can see that two doses of MMR are required. And just to give you an idea of the overall population we looked at, here are some statistics on public school enrollment. In Texas, there are 5.1 million students enrolled in public schools, that's kindergarten through 12th grade, and there are 388,000 kindergartners at 4,500 schools. Now, I'll introduce some variables of interest that we looked at. Now, these were the variables that were associated with our outcome of low MMR coverage when we carried out univariate analyses. So you can see that there's a district type, and that's split into charter and public. Charter schools are open to the public, so they're considered public schools, but for this analysis, we'll look at them separately. And we have white race and Hispanic race, both split at 50%. So schools that have above 50% white or Hispanic race, and those that have below 50%. Moving on to the continuous variables, we looked at total operating revenue, the cost per student total operating revenue, the percent that's spent on staff development, percent spent on health services, the overall exemption rate, now that's kindergarten through 12th grade, a total, percent white students, percent Hispanic students, percent students of English second language, percent of students at risk, and percent student mobility. So, rationale. We have a Texas annual report of immunization status, but this only collects vaccination coverage. We don't get any additional school demographic characteristics. In addition, we wanted to better assess pockets of need in our communities because we know the potential for outbreak in these areas. In addition, there's a study in Arizona that determined that school characteristics associated with high rates of personal belief exemptions among kindergartners were those with high proportions of white students and charter schools. With all this in mind, we wanted to do a study for Texas school districts for MMR coverage among kindergartners. So I'll introduce the data we used. We used some of the school district characteristic data that you already saw. That's from the Texas Education Agency. And we used immunization coverage data from the report I mentioned, the annual report of immunization status, and that is mandatory for all schools. It's then compiled at the school district level and submitted to us. And it collects exemption info at the school district level, and we'll collect immunization coverage levels for kindergartners and seventh graders only. And you might have been wondering, but for the purposes of this study, we considered low MMR coverage below 95% and high MMR coverage greater than or equal to 95%. So we carried out a logistic regression analysis. We had a binary outcome of high or low MMR coverage. We had both categorical and continuous predictors that we were interested in, and we wanted to consider everything at one time as a whole, adjusted for each other. We first carried out univariate analyses to determine which variables to initially enter into the model selection pool. We tested these for collinearity as well, carried out model diagnostics for interactions and outliers, and for all of the above, we use SAS version 9.3. Now for the results. So these are just some descriptives stratified by high and low MMR coverage, just some things that initially probably jump out at you. 36% of charter schools had low MMR coverage, and 21% of schools with greater than or equal to 50% students of white race ethnicity had low MMR coverage. And I'll give you a little second to look at some of that. Okay, now our continuous variables stratified into high and low MMR coverage. You can see the total operating revenue at the top there. It is over twice what it is in the low MMR coverage school districts. But if we then look at it at the cost per student level, there's actually more spent per student in low MMR coverage school districts than high. One other thing to note as you're looking at this is that the exemption rate differs pretty greatly between the two groups. It's 0.61% in the high MMR coverage groups and 2.04% in the low MMR coverage group. And keep in mind that we're looking at kindergarten through 12th grade as a whole for this exemption rate. So now I will tell you which of the predictors ended up being significant in the model. The first was district type. Remember, that's charter versus public schools. The second was a white student percentage of greater or less than 50%. Then there was percent of funds spent on health services, and last, the percent of students with a conscientious exemption on file, which is no surprise if you saw what happened in the last slide. Okay, now the odds ratio is associated with each of those significant variables. For a district type, charter comparing to a reference group of public school districts, an odds ratio of 2.9. Percent white above 50%, 1.9. percent of general funds spent on health services was the only protective variable at 0.4, and then percent of students with an exemption at around 1.8. Now I'll go over the interpretations of those odds ratios. So, first, school districts with greater than 50% student body composed of white race ethnicity children were about two times more likely to have MMR coverage of less than 95%. And one thing to note, I should have mentioned it earlier, is that we consider white race ethnicity separate from Hispanic. I know in a lot of cases it's all considered under the umbrella of white race and then Hispanic or non-Hispanic, so these would be white non-Hispanics. Next, charter schools were nearly three times as likely as regular public school districts to have low MMR coverage. Next, a 1% increase in exemptions meant that a school district would be 1.8 times more likely to have low MMR coverage. Delving in a little deeper into that, in the 2013-14 school year, the year of our study, there are about 38,000 exemptions in all grade levels in Texas, and that is about 0.75% of all students. Looking at kindergartners specifically, the percentage is even worse at 1.35% and a total of 5,300 students. Excuse me. And our last significant variable was health services spending. For every 1% increase in funds spent on health services, the likelihood for having MMR coverage less than 95% decreased by approximately half. One hypothesis for the reason behind this association could be that if the more money that's spent on health services would allow school nurses to better monitor the immunization compliance in their schools, whether it be through staffing or technology resources. That's just one hypothesis we came up with. So to summarize, charter school status, percentage of students of white race, and percent of students with a conscientious exemption were all associated with low MMR rates, and percent spent on health services was protective against low MMR rates. Now for the study limitations. So we only looked at public school districts, not private, and although our annual report is mandatory, obviously some people don't think it is. Not every school district reports. And building on that, the data is self-reported by the school districts, and a lot of people get very confused, and we can't possibly see every error in there in reporting. You all might have thought of this one. There is definitely going to be variability in these characteristics we looked at within school districts because they will cover such a wide area sometimes and just have potentially dozens and dozens and dozens of schools within them. So ideally, we would be able to look at this in the future at the individual school level. And lastly, model selection methods in general are open to error. Next steps, we'd like to perform the same analysis on other vaccines and, like I said, at the individual school level if possible. And we'd also like to include private schools if we could get the relevant data. And also, something that's outside my area of expertise, but determining why exactly these groups are not vaccinated, because I don't understand, and hopefully provide tailored education that will actually lead to a behavior change. I'd like to acknowledge the Texas Education Agency for their data and our DSHS Immunization Branch School Compliance Team. Thank you. Are there any questions?
We do have about 5 minutes for questions, and if people can come to the mic, I'll Hi there. Thanks for giving that presentation on your analyses. One of the questions I had was about non-compliance and whether you see non-compliance of people who aren't filing exemptions and aren't vaccinated to kind of fall into that middle group.
Yeah, that definitely happens, and that's why we try to look at the percent that are actually vaccinated. But that would be a very interesting group to look at because it is a problem that we've seen. There's one person's walking up to the microphone, so we'll get her.
Hi, my name is Janice. I'm from Tennessee. Have you shared this data with the school board or in other organization? And number two is, on that screen you had at-risk, an at-risk group. I was wondering who, I wasn't sure who that group.
So that is one sort of issue we had with our data. It was kind of hard to determine exactly what some of the definitions of these variables were, but I believe at-risk is probably an educational factor, so at risk of maybe not making it to the next grade level for one reason or another. And the first part of your question, we have not shared this data yet.
Thank you for your presentation. I'm from California and part of a county that has a significant number of exemptions in vaccination status, and I was curious, two-part question is, one, do any of your institutions, if you're familiar, have any school-based programs for vaccinations? And two, do you have any requirements for TDAP or anything, or other requirements for older students, like 7th, 8th grade, and have, do you follow those rates as well? Thanks.
So I believe some schools do have immunization services on campus. I don't know how many. And about TDAP in seventh grade, yes, we do look at those levels as well, and that would be another interesting thing to look at for sure. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm Mamadou from Delaware. I would like to, how do you define conscientious exemption? And also, what type of exemption does your state accept?
So we consider both a philosophical objection for any reason whatsoever and a religious exemption under the same umbrella of a conscientious exemption. So really, no questions asked for any reason. People can request a form and submit it, and their child will be exempted from any of the required vaccinations.
Hi, I'm Jen Rosen from New York City. That was a great talk. Did you look at any geographic clustering? See if exemptions clustered in one particular area?
Not in this particular study, but it's something we have done. There is a poster on it in the poster area, but we did it with we compared pertussis incidents to the clustering of exemptions, as you mentioned, if you're interested.
Hi, I'm Natalie from New Jersey. We actually work on a very similar survey that we do in New Jersey. But I was wondering what is supposed to occur within the school district for students who either don't have an exemption filed, whether it's religious or philosophical or medical, and aren't vaccinated? Are they excluded from schools or supposed to be excluded from schools?
They should technically be, yes, if they're not compliant, but I know they fall through the cracks sometimes. Yeah. That's good. Thanks, everyone.